Hi, Charles. Welcome. Who was James Bland?
Well, James Bland was an African-American composer, minstrel performer, born in Long Island. His family was a free black family. His father was college-educated, which was rare at the time. He himself attended Howard University down in D.C., where he sort of first became enamored of African-American folk idioms that influenced a lot of his own writing. He was performing professionally on banjo by the time he was 14.
He ends up taking to the minstrel show movement, which is huge in the late 1800s. Now, for some of the younger folks who are listening who might not know about minstrel shows, tell us a bit about what they are and how James Bland fit in.
Yeah, sure. The minstrel show, in a nutshell, is a theater production that is built around caricatures, if you will, of black performance, including dancing, singing, comedy, everything like that. He gets into it because, quite frankly, it's the popular genre of the day. It integrates a lot of the stuff he's interested in terms of the popular and folk music of African Americans. And if you wanted to make it in music during the day, you played the popular music of the day, which was minstrel music.
But he hits a roadblock because he's a black performer in America wanting to be part of the minstrel shows, and the minstrel shows really are bringing in more white performers in blackface.
Absolutely. I mean, part of the appeal of it was how well could these white performers emulate the idea, at least, that audiences had about black performance. And so as a result, the dominant performers, the most popular performers of the day, were in fact white. This is why we call it blackface. They put on blackface makeup to make themselves appear black. And quite frankly, there was less appeal for watching blacks do this at the time. Bland is such an interesting figure because he's able to carve out a lucrative career as a black performer in minstrel shows at a time in which everyone else is white.
He's a rising star, and he doesn't let anything stop him. He finds a group to perform with, and don't they go to London and have amazing success?
Absolutely. He toured with a number of groups starting in Boston and New York, which were a number of the most famous groups started there. He ends up with Haverley's minstrel show, and they travel to London, rave reviews. They tour Europe for a year or so, and when they decide to come back, 1880, 1881, he remains based out of London and creates his own sort of lucrative solo career, which is the beginning of the legacy that we're talking about today.
He makes a lot of money.
Absolutely. I mean, some sources say between $10,000 and $12,000 a year, which is an astounding number for the 1880s, 1890s.
Now the song, O Dem Golden Slippers. How did that song work its way into Mummer's culture as the unofficial theme song?
For our purposes, I guess, 1901 being the first, city-sponsored, quote-unquote, official Mummer's parade, even though tradition is a lot older than that. 1903 is when we sort of have the first occurrence of the song. And, by this time, you have to remember, 1900 is the sort of ending of this minstrel period. Vaudeville is largely replacing it. So, but the people who are performing as mummers in these parades are, in fact, they grew up listening to this music. So this was a popular song for them that they knew a lot of the audiences would have known. And especially a lot of African-American traditions had slowly been making their way into the Mummer's Parade. I mean, the two-street strut is a cakewalk, right? So these are things that are part of African-American tradition that are already there. So this song was a popular song, and quite frankly, because it's so catchy, it becomes pretty quickly a staple, actually, of a lot of the shows.
What is this song about?
Well, O Dem Golden Slippers is actually a parody of a song entitled Golden Slippers. And that song itself is a spiritual that was made popular by the Fisk Jubilee Singers. And it's an interesting thing. Just like minstrelsy sort of parodied black culture and performance, this song takes this earlier spiritual and sort of builds a parody minstrel version around it. So in the original, the idea is that you're going to put on these beautiful robes and ascend to heaven. In this version, or in this song, O Dem Golden Slippers, you're going to put on your finery, the best clothes you own, which is a pretty popular trope in minstrel songs anyway. This idea is you're going to put on your best suits, your best clothes, and prepare for the moment when you arrive in heaven.
I came across the name James Bland while I was driving past an historic marker in his honor. It's in Ballochinwood at the entrance to the Marion Memorial Park. the cemetery there. And on the marker it says, buried in the cemetery is the famous minstrel composer of Carry Me Home to Old Virginia and many other songs. Born in Long Island in 1854, he traveled widely but died in obscurity in Philadelphia in 1911. I heard he died of tuberculosis. He died in obscurity. Why, for such a prolific songwriter?
Quite frankly, we don't know a lot about the end of his life. We know he comes back to the States shortly after the turn of the century, makes his way through D.C., settles in Philly. By that time, vaudeville is the new thing. He tried his hand at a little bit of that, but couldn't really make a footing, and, you know, sells his last song for like $250. And he liked to live the good life, so he had spent most of his money by the time he came back to the States. He, you know, was just living in poverty and eventually died, like you said, of tuberculosis. The curious thing about that marker is that he died and was buried there in an unmarked grave, and it was many years later that, you know, sort of independent folk researchers found his grave and went to the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, or ASCAP, as we say, and they funded this memorial, and it became sort of a landmark. But this is how obscure he was at this time. He died, and his passing was not even remarked upon. I mean, despite the fact that, you know, he's just a few blocks away, people are singing his song down Broad Street every year. So it's a pretty interesting case.
Yeah, interesting indeed. Charles Carson is a musicologist at the University of Texas at Austin. Thank you very much. I think we'll listen to the song with new ears.
Absolutely. Happy New Year's.
You too.